Okay, guys, here we go. Week three, faithful men. Week one, we looked at some of the areas of our life that, you know, could use a little shoring up. Maybe we prioritize those in our journal, and if we're honest about it, we're going to start to take those areas in our life where we need improvement to be more faithful and begin to plug those leaks. We read last week in week two, 1 Samuel 2 and 35. I'd encourage you to read that each week. God is looking for a faithful priest who understands God's mind and heart. In 1 Samuel 8 last week, we looked at the fact that Samuel raised a couple knuckleheads. All right, but was he faithful? That's the question. Are we a success because we have a successor? Israel, with a bondage victim mentality, wanted a king. Without specificity, they just wanted a king to be like other nations. We learned that you are called to specifically walk out a calling on your personal life. You don't need to compare or conform to everyone around you, but walk in the ordained steps that God has for you as a man to do something significant with your life. There's the lesson there. Now we come to 1 Samuel chapter 9. God did not want Israel to have a king. Why? Because they're rejecting God to have their king. All right? That's covered in what you read. All right, but here's something about God. For those of you who are married, let's say the day you got married, you decided, all right, I'm going to marry this woman. We're going to have this ceremony. God could have been 100% against it. But the split second you stood there with your wife or fiance at the time and you made a covenant in God's name, God became 100% for your marriage. All right? Israel didn't want a king because they had a screwed up mentality. But the split second he gave them a king, he was 100% for it because he doesn't do something unless he's going to do it right. So he gives the people a king. Now, they got what they asked for, just a king, and that's what they got. Now, here's our introduction to Saul. Bless his heart. We find the first time we see Saul, a man who's called to lead a nation is following donkeys around the land. Yes, his father, Kish, sent his son out to chase donkeys around the countryside, donkeys that had been lost. Now, donkeys were a sign of wealth and royalty at the time, but at the same time, couldn't you send a servant to do that? I don't know what this says about Saul's father to Saul himself. But nonetheless, he's chasing donkeys, and he can't catch up with them on top of all of that. We're told that he's a tall man and that he's handsome and that he's a head taller than everyone else around him. But we also find that Saul's got this thing stuck in his head, not unlike Israel. He comes from the smallest tribe of Benjamin. And not only that, among the tribe, he's the least clan within the tribe. And then he has this family that's part of that clan. And then on the day that we're finally going to find out who's going to be the next king of Israel, Saul, we know, has this mentality in his head that I don't know that I'm really up for this. I'm not equipped for it. I come from the smallest tribe. He's like most everyone else called in the Bible to do something significant with their life. The first thing we do is figure out why it can't be done. Moses stuttered too much. Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor. The last people on the face of the earth that God calls to do something special are the ones that everyone else, for the most part, would never have guessed be the person. And that's who Saul is. And then some. One of the key verses in Samuel is 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It speaks, when David meets Goliath, it speaks of this reality that God doesn't look at the outer man, he looks at the heart. And man looks at the outer man and not the heart. So God saw something in Saul's heart that he thought he could redeem to be a king over Israel. And he sees something in yours. Saul has a perception of his life being small. He has a small town mentality, a predictable mentality. He's a donkey chaser by trade. He's unexceptional in his own mind. He's inconsequential in his own mind. He's insignificant in his own mind. He's incompetent in his own mind. And he doesn't see really any kind of way that there's going to be a change. Many people are told often that they're always going to be the way they are. And worse yet, we tell ourselves that. I'm not going to change. I've tried before. I've tried to overcome this issue. I've tried to not be insecure. I've tried to gain confidence. I've tried to figure out my direction in life, but I haven't done it yet. Yes, but you haven't done this journey. And you might be from the smallest tribe. And you might feel incompetent, and you might feel outmeasured. But give it a shot, would you? Give it yourself a shot. Give God a shot to take you and me, sometimes we think the least likely to be called to do something, and give God an opportunity to do that in your life. Yeah, maybe you and I cannot do it ourselves, but with his help, I'm thinking we might get something done. Saul has yet to realize that God can help him do what God has called him to do. If God is just, and he is, then why in the world would he call us to do something we're incapable of doing on our own and not help us to do it? It makes no sense. That's not a just God. So this week, as you prepare and read 1 Samuel chapter 10, we're going to take insecurity head on. And if there's any area in your life where you feel insecure, lack confidence, you're uncertain, you best get it down on a piece of paper, because we're coming after it next week in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we're going to settle this issue once and for all, how we walk away from these areas where we lack confidence and how we gain in these areas where we're now leaking our faith. You and I are going to be faithful men. Look at the questions, think about them, and let's journal our way through this journey as we're honest with ourselves and honest with God. It'll make a difference.